In his appearance in the 2007 documentary film Helvetica, typeface designer Jonathan Hoffler said, "There's really no way to describe the qualitative parts of typeface without resorting to things fully outside it." He used a statement to reinforce a phenomenon that he described in working with his design partner, that when endeavoring to create type design together, they'd often use descriptors unrelated to type as a means to effectively communicate their aesthetic vision. This idea of what we could call interdisciplinary description is not exclusive to design contexts only. We as humans tend to use abstract associations often as a way to create contextual understanding for these objects and ideas. These associations are rooted in composite sensory experiences. They are the reason expressive literature relies on metaphor, and the reason that two things as literally different as the taste of hot dogs and the smell of chlorine could imply a collective visual image of a summer pool party. Our brains operate in synesthesia far more fluidly than we consider, and these are perceptions that create human context. Wedged between these perceptions and the language used to communicate them is typography. In this instance, my professor, Dr. Burgess, wanted our class to each individually choose an object and dissect the composition of its typography for an assignment. She wanted us to make evaluations as to what the typographic composition was attempting to communicate to its audience and how effectively it did so. And then, after committing these evaluations to paper, she wanted us to create an object of our own that represented the components of our chosen object's typography and our positions on the effects it took. Because I play a lot of music in my free time, I ended up choosing my guitar amplifier. I figured that because its typography was relatively sparse and simple, that it would be an easy effort to make evaluations about. And it was fairly easy. I argued that the sparse bits of type weren't for a lack of creativity or some kind of visual carelessness. It was a conscious decision to ensure minimal distraction from the object's function and to create a subtle iconography between the type present and the yield of the amplifier's function, its sound. The argument was clear enough, but I had trouble when deciding how I would then synthesize it for the object portion of the assignment. It was clear Dr. Burgess operated within a visual context when creating the assignment, but with so much of my argument founded in aural qualities, I took my chances and decided that I would create a piece of music where each part represented each of the three different typefaces in the composition and what role they played. This is what I started with: a synthesizer sequence to represent the amp's use of Helvetica typeface. Helvetica isn't the most immediately noticeable typeface in the amplifier's composition, but its role is the most foundational. It is a script that adorns all the functional components of the amp, the knobs, the switches, the input. So in the piece of music, I attempted to mirror this association and make Helvetica's part the representative starting point from where the rest of the piece could form. Visually, Helvetica is a very neutral font. Its tight spacing and tall X height give it a stern but calm presence, and tonally I try to represent this in the synthesizer part. A tight, even, rhythmic pattern, and a light marimba-like timbre. I thought these sounds suited the visual components of Helvetica well. This is the part that I wrote to represent the use of Eurostyle Bold Extended Number 2 on the amplifier. Compositionally, this typeface is used only once to delineate the model name of the amp itself. It's placed directly under the power switch and light, giving a direct association to the amp's internal components. Because of this, I thought musically I would give this part the most complexity and character. If this typeface is dictating the nature of the amp's configuration, and the amp's configuration is what makes it functionally unique from other guitar amplifiers, then the part meant to represent it sonically should stand out as well. To further complement the typeface's visual attributes, Eurostyle is a geometric typeface, and this particular weight is exceptionally heavy with wide spacing. I created an angular melody with more forceful strums and a staggered rhythmic pattern to represent this. Finally, I added this part to represent the logotype of the amplifier's brand name, Ampeg. The embossed badge bearing the Amps logo is the largest piece of type set in the whole composition, and it adorns the grill cloth which directly covers the amplifier speaker. With this presence, and the most direct association with the actual sound emitted from the amplifier, I wanted to create a part for it that sounded literally like sound waves reverberating and pulsing. I put it at the front of the mix, the most noticeable melody in the composition, and used very hard strums, letting the notes ring out into each other, along with my guitar's vibrato to shift the pitch of the notes back and forth. It seems that visually, the logo type perpetuates this notion as well. It is deeply italicized, with a stunted X height, and a pseudo-ligature that runs entirely throughout. These guitar techniques create an intertwined, slanted sound. Most of the evaluations in my attempt to represent these typefaces through music stemmed from the notion of grand design in the book The Elements of Typographic Style by Robert Bringhurst. I tried to pay very close attention to how the relationships between the type and the functional components of the amp communicated a larger message, which inevitably result in its audience engaging with sound. But granted, these notions of design do initially stem from a visual context, and in the confines of my research, I did not really consider aural qualities of these elements until creating my music piece. But I think that a lot of these cross-sensory perceptions are instinctual. Even though I had a prior understanding of how music works, and generated a lot of these representational sounds on my own, a lot of these connections I made from the visual to the aural side of type weren't necessarily musical at all. Anyone with an ear and intuition for comparison could relate a typeface's visual composition to some sound that occurs in the world. I think the important part is to remember that these visual components are trying to drive its audience to feel a certain way about what it is displaying, and that if you break it down to the raw affect, you can trace it back towards similar feelings in different sensory contexts.